Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was hell or
hell. Lemon face. Lemon face. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 236. God damn it, anyway. What's up, everybody?
Saw, dude. Been?
First off.
You're George?
Let me apologize for the lack of show last week.
Why are you going to apologize for everyone?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Dude. You're just going to take that on yourself?
Of course, dude, because I'm the martyr of this show, dude.
You're martyr, dude.
Oh, is that a reference to the episode we're not doing?
We're supposed to do martyrs as a Patreon.
Do you get it, dude?
Patreon. You get it.
I know. Patreon, I feel terrible this week. This last week was not good.
They get it.
I'm in the middle of some shit. Matt's in the middle of some shit. Red is in the middle of just being blissful.
Life is in the middle of some shit. Everything sucks.
So, you know, Red's good right now. Red's like the one that's okay.
He's
right
over
now.
Here grinning like an idiot, too.
Well, work's busy, but yeah.
If it's a little echoey, I apologize. We're in an alien fucking environment. Anywho, this is Jorge.
This is Matt.
This is Red. And yeah, as Jorge's saying, this is like an experimental episode.
This this is the Mandy of
dude. This
the
is
Who
where we were
podcast.
Supposed to be, like when we started the well, not when we started the show, but when we started recording here.
Yeah,
we were supposed
to
record
move out here. Yeah,
it was gonna be tight as fuck.
Yeah,
I could blow my smoke out the window. I mean, like my smoke is in my hot air, is in like
as if you don't,
the, the arguments that
as
I've
seen. As if there's an issue with that right now.
Yeah, it's gonna get steamy in here.
Hella steamy.
That's right.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's nice and cool out here, though.
It is nice. Yeah, that is one good thing about here is that there's no worry about temperature because I can just open the door.
And we can be super loud
we can
and not
be
worry about
loud.
Your kids. I actually yelled that in the elevator today. There was nobody in there. And just as it was going down three floors, I'm like, I'm going to yell this shit.
No one was in there?
No.
Okay, good.
That's a good time.
No, dude, there's people in there.
Could you imagine?
I bet Red has.
There's like at least one person in there and he goes, okay.
I've actually done the Donovan, his Shanghai thing in an elevator full of people. And I was sober.
Why?
I was at the casino at Barona.
Uh-huh.
And we went there for the buffet and I did the you know, all the chicks in Shanghai thing. And fucking, it was mortifying, dude.
Why did you do it then?
Because it was so funny. As soon as that door opened, they flooded out of there.
Dude, elevators are fucking weird. Like,
yeah.
People get so nervous in elevators. I don't know if it's the close confines or what, but like, have you ever walked into an elevator and just faced everyone?
Yeah.
Or just even not even faced everyone. If you're in the back of the elevator and you face the other way, people freak the fuck out.
Because there's these unspoken rules.
There's a certain expectation to what you do in an elevator. That's for sure.
Get in, turn around, shut up. Don't
shut the fuck up. Push your
all face the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, if you face the other way, it's fucking super. I mean, I've tried.
It's really confrontational.
No, it is.
Yeah.
But like, even if you're facing the wall, people will just be like, the fuck are you
just
doing?
Just face the corner.
Yeah, because they think some shit's about to go down. They're like, oh shit. Oh,
why is this fool looking in the corner?
Did you guys ever see that video? Remember like 5 or 6 years ago? I don't know if that girl that was found in the water tower.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Did you ever watch that video?
Story,
of her,
they made a movie about
like,
it.
Disappearing
in the elevator.
Out in the elevator.
Freaking out in the elevator.
Yeah.
She was just like looking like somebody was after her.
Dude, somebody had to have been after. That's got to be like some government shit. She knew something. They doctored the footage to cut out the fucking hitman.
There was something going on.
It's either that or she just had like some actual mental health issues.
I mean, she could have, but like she was locked in that tower. In that water tower.
Yeah.
It was locked from the outside.
Well, I don't know that it was locked from the outside, but it couldn't be unlocked from the inside, I think is one of the things. I don't know.
Man,
exactly.
We watched, when Ollie and I first got together, we watched the movie that was like about that called Dark Water. That movie sucks.
Dark Water is not a good movie.
Is that Jennifer Connelly?
Yeah.
That movie sucks.
That's not a good movie.
That was one of the first, when we first got together, I remember seeing that. Hatchet and Wolf Creek. And
Wolf Creek.
Guess which two of the three I loved.
I've never seen Wolf Creek still.
Really?
And I've heard very good things.
I was thinking about something the other day. So Rhett brought or texted me something. We have to come up with an end of the decade list coming
Ooh.
Up soon.
Okay.
I mean, it's an opportunity.
Oh shit, that's the end of this year.
Yep. Yeah. So we got to do end of the year wrap up and end of the decade wrap up.
That's a great fucking, you know what? I was speaking in general, but yeah,
We might want to like hit up like Instagram and stuff and get some suggestions on that, because we're going to need a lot of like pooling for that. Yeah, yeah, that's a lot of fucking movies.
Yeah, because it's easy to fucking skimp on stuff.
The best like, horror movie of the last decade.
Damn.
Wow.
Truth or Dare. The pool table scene. Think about it.
Dude, yeah. That pool table scene was great. Skate. Like, if you could put GIFs on a t-shirt, I would want that. Like, on a t-shirt.
That's coming, dude.
I've always thought about shit. Like if you could put a song in a tattoo, like, where you just, like, fucking, like, hover over it, and you can hear, like, a little, like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
What would be the tattoo accompanying that?
It would be, like, the little musical notes.
No, but like, what would your tattoo be?
The musical notes.
Oh, just the musical notes? Yeah.
Like, if you got.
would get literally the music notes?
No, but if you got like a tattoo that had like sheet music, like it would play. Like.
Oh, no, I was thinking you could just push play on a tattoo.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know.
That would be hella type.
Yeah. Maybe you know, some dude's nose. You just push his nose and it plays a little song.
Like, if you like touched the finger on your fucking Evil Dead tattoo.
That's probably going to fucking happen.
If it played tight, like the theme song.
Yeah. I just always the like. Song? I always liked that that forest theme from Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
That's a good one.
And I was just like, man, if I could get that sound as a tattoo, that would be tight as fuck.
That's some cyberpunk shit.
That's kind of dumb. Yeah.
So what's up, fellas? What 2 weeks we haven't recorded?
Yep.
Anything happening?
It feels like a long
time. It feels like forever, dude. Yeah, I don't even remember what I helped your wife move her mom. That sounds your weird. Mom. I did.
Actually, you know,
I got suckered into moving a whole apartment. I was told it was a bedroom set.
Suckered?
I was told it was a bedroom set. It was a whole apartment.
But hold up a minute. You know,
I did it willingly.
Yeah, willingly, because I have helped you move multiple times.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah. Ronnie's like, thanks. Score. I'm like, George has helped me move like at least 3 times.
That's why I do it, dude. I just like, I spread just favors to have out those there. Tokens. Just to have them in the back. Because like, if you ever like, come on, dude, I helped you move twice, yep. 3 times.
You got a truck. You got to haul some of this mm-hmm. shit. I just got to use my muscles. I was like, well, good thing it's arm day. This is tight.
That's right.
fuck, I don't remember what we did.
Watch anything?
Did we talk about Evil Dead the musical?
We did. Yep.
We had Halloween.
You said it wasn't as good as
Toxic Avenger.
You got Splash Zone, Don.
That was tight. We did Halloween. Fuck, I don't know. Ollie and I have been playing a lot of that game, A Way Out, where you're breaking, it's like a co-op where you're breaking out of prison and stuff like that. It's pretty fun. Like, you get to, we fucking tortured a guy together. That was like a real team building experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. She fucking tried to break his arm with a crowbar, and I like did a nail gun in his leg. Like, that was fucking.
Damn.
That's a game?
That was tight. Yeah, dude. That was tight.
You missed out on the last 10 years, brother.
I guess so.
There's some cuckoo banana shit.
So, speaking of cuckoo banana video games, I think we talked about it a while ago, but I think that we're going to be picking up Death Stranding.
Yes.
I've heard some real polarizing reviews.
Really?
Some people are saying...
That's exciting.
Some people are saying it's utter dog shit, and then some people are saying it's like the art nouveau video game.
I mean, so it's basically everything that's ever been released ever.
No.
How's the gameplay, though? I mean, doesn't that matter for the game?
Well, see, with like Kojima, a lot of the times, yeah, it's like Kojima, it's more,
dude, it doesn't matter.
It's more story. Like, his stories so fucking. It's like when you play a Metal Gear Solid game, like you're getting.
Saying. Oh, it's that guy.
You're
that
getting guy. Literally like 22 hours of video
but it's,
content.
But it's Kojima, like unfettered.
Yeah.
So he's not connected to a studio.
It's
he's
not a big franchise fucking thing where he's.
Well, it is because it's Kojima Studios.
Yeah.
But he's what not. I mean,
he's not boxed in under these right. expectations.
So he has literal just artistic freedom.
And so are you familiar with PT?
PT.
So PT no. was a playable.
No, he's not.
It
no.
was a playable that demo no. that came out on PlayStation 4. And it was really fucking spooky. And it was supposed to be like a. What was going to become the new Silent Hill. And at the end of that, if you completed it, you got a little like sneak peek of like Norman Reedus walking through the,
right.
you know, through the street. And so people are saying that Death Stranding was kind of supposed to be like, it's what shot off of Silent Hill. But some people were saying that he never planned on making a new Silent Hill. That was kind of just like a the fuck you to Konami.
Right. Kojima and Konami had a very like, shitty
bad falling divorce out.
And what was
he basically made that company, and then they wanted to change the format. They wanted to do like pay-to-play transaction phone games,
right?
And they didn't really want to. They're like, you're taking too long, you're not making
and now money. they've converted mostly to doing from what I understand, like pachinko machines and
slot machines. They still do, they do Silent Hill pachinko machines.
That's pretty dope.
What
is interesting is if you do want to play PT, you can actually buy a PS4 on eBay for like $1,000.
Oh yeah,
that has it pre-installed. And
people will pay that shit.
People will pay for it.
It looked cool. I'll just watch a walkthrough.
So yeah, I think that Death Stranding will be a cool experiment in terms of like our video game playing.
Yeah, you'll have to stream it because you have a camera on your PS4.
I do have a camera.
Yeah. George streaming.
It'll be hella boring.
Oh fuck. I watched Parasite.
Oh yeah, let's talk about Parasite.
Before we go any further, this almost broke the show last week.
That wasn't this. It was built up tensions, and this was a thing.
This was a tipping point,
right?
Yeah, this was a definite tipping point for you because we had planned on reviewing the film for the show.
Yep,
and you sort of felt like it because it wasn't firmly a horror film. You were pissed off about it.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I was pissed off about a lot of things, but the movie was just kind of the thing that spearheaded my anger.
You weaponize your trauma, dude.
Yeah. I honestly absolutely love the movie.
Thank God.
I just
I would agree. It's not a straight ahead horror movie. When I saw it, I was worried.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't think this is a horror movie. Like, I don't think it's a movie we should be doing an episode on. And a lot of irrational stuff that I've been dealing with kind of focused on that. That being said, it's a fucking work of art. Yeah. It's an absolute fucking
unit. You need to finish it.
I would say I'm two-thirds of the way through. So I mean,
okay. The last third is
where it shit.
So I think that this would probably be a good Patreon film to talk about.
You know, I'm okay with that.
Just to be, it is horror, like that. North Cal Mike, that guy, you know, he has the podcast. Yeah, no Cal, whatever you want to say. But yeah, it's horror adjacent. We've been talking about it. That's what he said. I think it's more horror adjacent, but it's great.
Lou Rusconi called it a dark comedy, and I don't necessarily see that.
I haven't even thought about Lou Rusconi in like a year.
Really?
Weird.
Yeah, I follow that dude.
Like almost all this guy's movies, Bong's movies, like he fucks with genre a lot. Like The Host is a horror movie. But it's funny as fuck.
Yeah.
And then like...
It's more a creature feature than a horror movie.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But then even still, like creatures have like a, you know, a place in horror.
Yeah, Snowpiercer is like
one of the best.
I just watched that.
What'd you think?
For the first time. That movie was great. It's fucking exhausting though.
Yeah.
Like that's the one on the train, right? The snow and shit. Yeah. I just watched it a few days ago.
And that was like Chris Evans pre-Marvel shit. So it's so weird to see him like as an adult in that movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, you're like stupid famous now. And he just made this little fucking Korean
Tilda Swinton.
And once that shit pops off, which is immediately, it does not let up for like 2.5 hours.
Yeah. And he did Okja.
Okja was great. It's a little preachy.
Yeah, but definitely. Parasite, you could say, is preachy, but it's not preachy. It's just very... It's incisive.
Yeah.
It makes the point fucking with the best analogy possible.
Yeah, I mean, Okja is more preachy than any of the other stuff he's
done. Anything that revolves around animal cruelty is just, you know.
Just make a burger out of the fucking
You're just going to feel bad after 5 minutes, no matter what.
Yeah.
I know I do.
Yeah, I don't remember what else I watched. I'm sure there was other stuff, but I can't really think of it.
I am glad though that that you enjoyed Parasite.
Yeah, I mean it was a great movie. It was a little slow, you know.
You texted you're all, I'm bored as fuck. I was like, oh, dude, I'm over there fuming like what? At least say it's good.
What was the thing that you thought I had said about the last movie we watched?
Lighthouse.
What? Oh my god. Yeah.
Oh, well, I thought you said, okay, he said I just walked out of Waiting for Lovecraft.
And he thought I had walked out of the movie. Like, in the middle.
I'm a head out. I thought he fucking took off in the middle of the movie.
He was so angry, dude.
I'm like, how the fuck are you gonna review a movie you didn't watch, dude?
Oh, have you listened to the show before?
And then you sent me this fucking picture of like a super troll type dude, right? Like, yeah. Like he had a weird super hipster haircut and everything. I thought you were saying the movie was like that. I thought you were saying that's how fucking artsy fartsy this fucking movie was. And I was like, damn.
Rhett's like, oh, hell no. He's like,
you know what, dude? I quit the show.
Well, because I'm going to start drinking again right now.
Like, I thought it was pretty fucking art house, but I didn't walk out.
I'm going to yeet on these fuckers.
Yeah. Yeah. Text is dangerous sometimes.
Yes. We've learned that.
But
What about you, buddy?
I watched... Well, it's not, but Jojo Rabbit.
Ah,
that looked really good.
Hey. It was fucking really, really good, and it was much needed after the buffet of Blue Velvet, Parasite, The Lighthouse, Midsommar, and you know, we went. Sophia and I went and saw Jojo Rabbit at the Landmark.
It's like a lighthearted Nazi film.
Well, yeah. The thing is, dude, that's what it's pretty impressive. It's a satire of fascism. It takes place in Nazi Germany. If someone hasn't seen the trailer, the gist of it is that there's a 10-year-old boy who's all about the Nazi party. And his mom's like, you're not a Nazi. You're just a little boy who wants to join a club, which is like the great fucking commentary on these, right. On fanaticism. It's like, you just want to be part of a club. Relax.
Wait, is that people who are like really enthralled with the fanatic? Cause I want to join that club.
I want to make that club and organize it and mobilize it and have it take over, but
and weaponize it.
Yeah. I want to weaponize the fanatic as a fucking ideological.
Weaponize the fanatic.
But, yeah, Scarlett Johansson's in it. And, Taika Waititi. He did, What We Do in the Shadows and wrote and directed it and was in it. He also did Thor Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok.
And he did Flight of the Conchords. He was on that show. He plays, his character's name is Imaginary Hitler. And that's literally what the billing name is. And the thing is, this kid has this idea. Hitler's his hero because he's grown up indoctrinated with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So his idea of Hitler is that he's this loving, supportive guy. But the thing is, when he talks to like a little Jewish girl, like Hitler shows up and it's Taika Waititi and he's like... who is that? You know,
wait a minute.
Yeah, so it's kind of got this Mel Brooks vibe, but then it does juggle the tone, in my opinion, very well. It whether you like it or not will depend on whether you think it juggles that tone appropriately or successfully.
I love when bitches juggle the tone.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Like Parasite, speaking of that again, that movie was a fucking masterpiece of tone because Parasite was fucking hilarious, then it was like emotionally wrenching. That movie was all over the fucking place.
It needed more like wah in the soundtrack.
Did they do that?
No, but it needed more of it.
I'm glad they didn't do that.
Because they didn't do it. It needed a lot of it.
But what else did I watch? I heard some shit over there, dude. Who goes there? that's the one and only for me. I visited... Patreon member Donovan in LA last week.
I like that you call him Patreon member instead of just our friend.
Well, because it has to be relevant. I'm trying to keep it relevant to
you
the show.
You can just say our friend.
You too can get shout outs from fools like me.
Fool.
If you hang out with him in LA for an entire day.
And so my girlfriend and I head up to LA.
Said it. You said it's your wife.
It's my wife. No, okay.
But, my wife.
If you say my girlfriend three times, she'll show up.
That would be cool.
You gotta look in the mirror while
I'm probably
going to
go over there afterwards on a school night and everything.
My girlfriend. My girlfriend. My girlfriend. Holy shit, it's Sophia. Yeah, okay.
That's fucking Candyman. But
oh, shit.
We saw this band.
Oh, fuck, it's a goblin shooting bees out of her mouth.
She's mean. She's mean like that.
Oh, you're going to send the dogs out with bees in their mouths, and when they bark, they shoot bees at you?
What is that from?
Pops up, dog.
We were just talking about it, dude. Los Simpsons, homie.
Oh.
Okay. That was one of the best fucking seasons.
I don't remember The Simpsons.
Oh, my God.
Did you watch Terminator? Tell me you watched Terminator.
Nope.
I heard that was horse
I heard
shit.
That
I heard it was middling. I heard it was better than the last 3, but so yeah, what?
But that's a
low bar to clear.
Yeah.
I mean, but we saw this band Brutus. It's a very good band. They're from Belgium.
It's like Pop Dream bullshit.
It's not Pop Dream. I don't know why you said that.
It's what it is.
I didn't bother looking at it because it's like
dark dream pop.
Rhett's got terrible music taste.
It is.
I do not have terrible music taste. That's not true.
He doesn't have terrible. He just is a shithead about his choice in music.
It's not dark dream pop.
The fact that you guys are labeling something dark dream pop says that like
that's him. My label.
That's not even what they are. They're if anything, they're a fucking post metal band.
There we go.
Post metal means after metal.
Yeah,
which means like
everything.
We took something that was perfect and fucked it up.
No, it's basically an art metal band. It's actually like Deftones, but they're from Belgium with a female singer.
It's actually post Beethoven.
You know who else is in a hardcore band from Belgium with a female singer?
They're not a hardcore band.
Vithica.
Fuck yeah. And she probably loves Brutus.
She's probably like that.
She has. We share a lot of the same musical tastes. As a matter of fact. Yeah, and Lacey, and the lady up north in Canada.
Well, you know, there's no accounting.
And Sinew and Bone, that feller, and Cthulhu Christ. We both love Author and Punisher. We can't say the word anymore. And
can we?
I can, but you guys can't. Apparently. Yeah,
it's like when you're. Never mind.
Yeah,
but. Yes, it was a good show. It was a good time. And we went we hiked the fucking countryside the next day in Runyon Canyon, which is right.
Isn't
in the
Runyon
of
a type of fish?
Grunion.
That's the grunion. You go see those on Coronado and they flop up on the shore.
When I was a kid, like we would either go and collect them in a giant bucket for what reason? I don't know, because they all died when they got home and we didn't eat them or anything.
We would pick them up. You were poor and white.
We would pick them up on the shore and huck them back into the ocean.
What do they do that for?
They're trying to lay eggs.
They're trying to fuck the sand?
Yeah, they're trying to fuck the sand.
That's cool, though.
So if like you huck them back into the ocean, you're denying their reproductive rights.
Ooh. So they need the friction of the sand to spew their fucking babies everywhere, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't like sand. It gets everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's why, because he's like a grunion.
Fucking Anakin is a grunion. Yeah. Got him.
Oh my god!
I watched that Netflix show with Paul Rudd, Living with Yourself. It's weird.
Is it?
It's funny as shit, but it's there's a couple spots you're like, okay, I see where they're going, and then they go not that way. It's pretty good.
That End of the Fucking World season 2 came out.
Did you watch it?
I have not yet, but I want to.
How could it have?
We finished Marianne, though. That was good.
It ended...
The French one?
Yeah.
It ended with him getting shot, right?
Yeah.
How do they...
I think, like, from what I've heard in the trailer, they imply or they show that he, like, died. So I don't know if it's just her going on her own or meeting somebody else or what, but... So, like, he's discardable.
That's pretty good.
That's something. Man, I remember that first season being great. I watched the whole thing in one afternoon. Def told me, like, oh, this shit's the jam. And I'm like, let me watch. And boom.
It's a Def Jam. Through.
It was a Def Jam. That's tight. Hella tight.
Hella tight.
That's right. That's right.
So, Rhett, you got any news, dude?
Yeah, we got news in this
He's
bitch.
He's like, I just put my phone
We got on. News in this bitch.
Yo, bitch. We were talking about The Simpsons on Disney Plus.
We were.
And there's actually, like, a bunch of horror-y themed stuff on there. There's every episode of Gargoyles.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is good.
Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. Escape to Witch Mountain. Oh. Frankenweenie. Let's see. Then Hocus Pocus.
The original Escape to Witch Mountain?
Let's see. 1975.
Rhett does not like Hocus Pocus.
You don't want to see the one with The Rock?
I don't want to see that shit with The Rock.
Why not? Rock is,
The Rock is tight. Dude. I'm fine with The Rock in like The Rundown, you know, and that's it.
That's it.
No, what you got? The Tooth Fairy? No, I'm good on that. Fast and Furious? No, I'm gonna head out.
Dude, you like for Fast real?
And Furious. What do you mean I like Fast
did
and
you,
Furious?
You didn't watch Hobbs and Shaw? That shit was delightful.
I did see that and I laughed my ass off because I have that fuck, but I wouldn't have seen it if I didn't have the A-list thing.
It was delightful.
It was fucking hilarious. Especially the Return of the Jedi ending with the Ewoks in Samoa. That was fantastic.
I mean, there you go.
Where they throw spears at the fucking dudes. Literally.
It's tight. That's enough to watch it right for me.
Dude.
Well, then why haven't you watched it yet?
Because I don't like those movies.
I actually went.
I don't like those movies either, but I watched it in theaters and it was tight.
Idris Elba tight. Screaming at fucking cars.
He said genocide schmenicide.
He does that, say that.
That is an actual quote.
genocide schmenicide said by
Idris Elba.
Rhymes with smushmortion.
Smushmortion.
All right. It's news time. So, it's been 2 weeks. One thing that was notable to me was Clive Barker's Books of Blood.
Clive who?
Clive Barker.
There we go.
Barker?
Did I say some weird shit like as usual? Okay, so Clive Barker, which is the Hellraiser feller.
Yeah.
Books of Blood adaptation coming to Hulu. And the showrunner, apparently, is Seth MacFarlane.
What is a showrunner?
He's like the... Well, see, in a film, you have a director... on the show, it's like the director does the episodes, but the showrunner oversees the entire...
Right. Okay.
He's more like the executive producer
a little bit
on a TV show.
Okay, so they kind of do
so like DB and,
all the things.
Weiss, you've got long Weiss and Benioff
storytelling.
Okay.
It's not 2 hours, you know?
Gotcha.
They got to think about the ongoing arc.
The whole D.
Of not just the season, but potential seasons afterwards, the whole thing. Whole D, exactly.
The whole D. Not just the tip.
Not just the tip.
No.
Not just the premiere episode. The shaft. Like the part where, you know, when like you're measuring your D and you keep going part of your shaft into your butthole.
Yeah, you gotta measure back.
He's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta start from the gooch.
You gotta start from your back.
Halfway.
You start from your anus and you go forward.
Go to your
whatever
coccyx
that is
all the way back.
Yeah, but
you go to your coccyx to measure your cock.
I'm glad. I see good. Now I feel settled in this new place here. That's good. So I think that's. I haven't read Books of Blood, but supposedly that's one of
Books of Blood.
Books of Blood is.
I read one of them. The newer one. Well, it was newer like 4 or 5 years ago. Scarlet something.
But Seth MacFarlane is a strange...
That is a strange choice.
Yeah, the feller who did Family Guy and...
I mean...
American Dad, but...
We've seen that like comedians and horror do pretty well.
You know,
it's like the timing thing, so he's got great timing.
I thought when you said Seth MacFarlane for a moment, you meant Todd MacFarlane.
Well, hell like, yeah.
That would be hella tight.
With his fucking hockey team and his baseball and Spawn. Spawn is overdue for a fucking reboot.
Wait, he's got a hockey team and a baseball team?
Yeah, he owns a hockey team.
Which one?
I don't know. But
probably the Preds.
And he has like one of the, I think it's Mark McGwire's baseball. He's a big sports dude. It's unfortunate.
Why is that unfortunate?
Why is that unfortunate? Because I'm a fucking dork and I wanted him to draw Spider-Man and Spawn and that's it.
It broke
my heart when I saw this motherfucker posing with baseball players.
People feel that way about George R. R. Martin. They're just write the fucking books. We don't care about the Jets. Write the goddamn books.
Come on, fatty. Write the books.
Yeah, don't this isn't why us. I like you. Exactly. Yeah.
You're not engaging enough.
No, but yeah, he's hard into that stuff. But yeah, Spawn would be a good reboot at this point, I think.
I thought they were rebooting Spawn.
I did hear
wasn't that Jamie Foxx supposed to be Spawn?
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Ooh, I'm a head out.
Okay.
that would be tight, I think.
Okay, old news now, so I'll skip. Terminator Dark Fate did not do well box office
wise. Yeah, Jamie Foxx to play Spawn in Blumhouse reboot.
And it's Blumhouse.
That was from May 2018.
Terminator did not do so well.
No. Oh, yeah. I heard that just fucking shit the bed.
Well, and they've pulled out all the stops now. They had Cameron return as a producer.
Damn, shit the bed.
Yeah, it totally shit the bed.
Well, and then it's just got old Arnold, doesn't it?
Well, it's got Linda Hamilton. That's the thing. I haven't seen it. I've heard the story is an improvement. I've heard it's an improvement over the last couple sequels, but that's not enough to fucking revitalize the franchise.
I actually, in preparation for the movie, because I was like, oh, I'm going to go see it. I watched Terminator Salvation.
Yeah.
Woo!
That's boring as fuck.
Whoa. Wait, I saw movie, Genesis.
The Genesis is right. Awful.
Salvation is the one with Christian Bale.
That's the one I saw
and,
in theaters.
And what's his face from Avatar?
Yeah, I forgot everything about that.
Do you remember the fucking Christian Bale freakout?
Yeah,
the tearing down the lights. I still listen to that like every couple
it's
months.
It's the best, dude.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's just
what
like
the fuck?
Do I go walking through your set?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, good for
are you?
That's badass.
We can be loud as
fuck. That's how I want to fucking talk to people. Isn't it tight? Like all day.
What? Just oh, good for you.
No, but what else? Guy Pearce to star in The Seventh Day.
Nope.
A new horror film from Fangoria.
Who's Guy Pearce?
Guy Pearce is a fuck.
Okay. He's a good actor.
I don't like him at all. Fuck, I don't like his teeth. I don't like his lips. I don't like anything.
He was in Memento. He was in LA Confidential. He was in.
I don't like him.
Why don't you like him?
Because he's a fuck.
Wait.
He's got weird teeth.
Was he the main guy from Memento?
Yeah.
Like,
he's hella tight.
The guy with all the tattoos?
He is not hella tight. He was in Blade 1.
Okay. Blade 1 was tight.
What the fuck did he do in Blade 1?
He was like, oh, is that Guy Pearce? That is Guy Pearce, isn't it?
No, you're thinking of the bad guy? That's not Guy Pearce.
What's that guy?
You are thinking
of Famke Janssen.
I'm thinking of Famke Janssen.
You're thinking of Wesley Snipes.
Oh, okay. Wait, what's that guy's name then?
You're thinking of Chris Christopherson.
No!
Matt's dad.
No, I'm not thinking of Chris Christopherson.
Dude, my mom always says Chris Christopherson's my dad.
I remember you saying something like that. That's a callback.
Hold up a minute.
Wait, that's an esoteric callback.
That guy's name is, fuck.
What the fuck? Dorf. Oh,
Brad
Dorf.
Brad Dorf.
That is not even close to the same. Yeah.
That's wait, no. Like, isn't it Steven?
Steven Dorf.
Yeah, Brad, Steven. Brad Dorf is Chucky.
Dorf. Yeah, dude. And he did. He was good as Frost in that movie,
Ever see those videos like Dorf goes golfing?
The Count of Monte Cristo. That's the movie I was
You're like comparing, if you were comparing the abilities of actors, like Steven Dorf and Guy Pearce is like fucking the Punisher and Galactus.
I don't like his face, mostly.
That's fine.
Yeah, I don't like his face.
He's a good actor.
Yeah, well, whatever.
I don't like his face either.
What were we talking about him?
Steven Dorf's face.
Yeah, but what about Steven Dorf?
He thought Steven Dorf. He thought Guy motherfucking Pearce was the bad guy in Blade 1. And he's not.
Can I just
fuck this movie that's coming out with Guy Pearce.
Hold up a minute. Can I just So earlier today? Yesterday?
Wait, I don't know what you're talking about.
Matt texts me and we were talking about Dr. Sleep.
Oh you.
And he goes, we were talking about characters and whatnot, and we'll get to the movie when we get there. And he goes, oh, yeah, was that Famke Janssen? And I was like, no, you didn't. You did not just fucking say that this actress was Famke Janssen.
I hella thought it was.
Fucking the hat? Mary the hat?
Yeah. And so I was like, dude, you and Rhett have fucking.
Look at Rhett's face. He's like, that wasn't her.
You guys have Famke Janssen colorblindness.
Well, she's pretty. I'm glad.
I was trying to go back into my memory banks from that picture Rhett posted a few days ago, and I was like, did he say she was in Dr. Sleep? Probably. I don't know. This kind of looks like her.
You're like, oh, that must be Famke Janssen. did you guys see the trailer for Color Out of Space?
Yes.
No.
Super in.
Me too, super in. Yep. So it's based on a Lovecraft short story.
Right.
It's the same company that produced Mandy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all colorful.
Nicolas Cage, number two. Let's do it.
It looks fucking, it's Lovecraft trippy as fuck looking and Nicolas Cage getting all.
When we watch that, Chris Franco has got to come in. It's a Chris Franco movie all day.
Yeah. And well, and the director, it's his first work since, did you guys ever remember The Island of Dr. Moreau from the 90s?
Yeah, buddy. That's a great movie.
Yeah. Now that movie kind of fucked his career since then. This is his first comeback movie.
Oh, shit.
He actually did something
27
else.
27 years?
Yeah. He did stuff in the 80s that was well respected in the horror community. Honestly, I don't remember what because I'm not going to Google
that,
it right now.
That Dr. Moreau movie was fucking something
else. Dude, I've listened to like a couple mini documentaries about just like
Richard Stanley's
process of that and like how fucked up like everything was and how shitty Marlon Brando was like
and general. Val Kilmer.
Well, that was Marlon Brando's like last gasp. Basically, he died shortly after that, right, Rhett?
Pretty shortly, and then in the next 4 or 5 years,
probably had that whole "I can't believe this is my last movie" thing, and then just kicked.
Well,
Raul
Julia was Street Fighter.
Brando's my and some people you'd have to understand if you haven't seen a Marlon Brando movie when he's younger, this won't make sense to you unless you've seen The Godfather. But he's my favorite.
Did you just take a dig
ever.
At Street Fighter?
I did.
Street Fighter is amazing.
You said that before, and it's just not good.
Oh, dude,
it is good.
And speaking of Marlon,
dude, he goes Oyuken and doesn't even lift off the ground, and the screen flashes.
He didn't have to because he had the screen flash.
Oyuken, and it goes.
Yeah, dude.
Like, they couldn't even do that right.
So tight.
But I remember the best part of Street Fighter, because I remember seeing it in junior high.
Damn, that was junior high.
Dude, that was forever ago.
It was a junior high or late, yeah, around there. But they had the trailer for Mortal Kombat.
Which is one of the best.
And it was fuck Mortal Kombat, and they showed the shit.
The Mortal Kombat movie is essentially a Big Trouble in Little China ripoff.
Oh, hell yeah. I
can
agree.
I can dig it.
It's a PG-13.
I schooled the fuck out of Ollie on that when we first got together. She's like, this is one of my favorite movies. I'm like, oh, that bitch, that's a mistake.
The video game is essentially a Big Trouble in Little China ripoff.
I mean, if they had like a tournament style fight.
Yeah. It's Enter the Dragon with Big Trouble in Little China and some hyper, hyper, hyper violence.
Yeah. I'm into that. That's tight.
That's not a bad pedigree. I like that Mortal Kombat movie. Like, even non...
It was fun, for sure.
Even, like, non-ironically, I like it.
I watched the second one semi-recently.
Oh, Annihilation?
I don't remember why. Ooh, I think it was just...
Not good.
It was on somewhere or something. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to fucking watch this.
That one is the worst.
I'm
going
to buckle up. That was a
because that's the one that had Shang Tsung in it, and you're like,
when they
no
do
way
the animalities at the end, and it has the dodgiest CGI fucking ever... It's bad.
Because they introduced Reptile and it's like, what? Why?
What was her name? Melina.
Melina and Katana.
And they couldn't even get Christopher Lambert back for fucking Raiden. If Christopher Lambert won't come back,
you fucked up.
And that's after like Highlander 3. Like, fuck. He did Highlander 2 and 3. He's like, nah, I'm a head out. Like, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back for more. For Mortal Kombat Annihilation. But I
like that Rhett like hits a meme from like a year ago and he's like, this is the one.
I'm gonna bring it back.
This is the one.
But
we do that. I mean, we resurrect memes.
We did that with my wife.
We did that with my wife and Saw, dude.
I still say that all the time. Like, it's fucking just worked its way into my vocabulary.
Having mentioned speaking of which, Lovecraft Country. Have you heard about this?
No.
That's a game, right?
Well, it's actually HBO is hyping its slate in 2020. And Lovecraft Country is from producers Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams.
Okay.
Okay, I've heard of that.
And it's an ongoing series that is basically what it sounds like. It's a Lovecraft-inspired ongoing series in a rural area. A
world where there's fucky Lovecraftery stuff.
Yeah, so Lovecraft... I don't know. I guess people like this guy.
I guess people like existential horror.
He's the new thing, man. Like, he's the new trend.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense because he started all this elevated horror and then it's like, oh, it's all about the dread and it only makes sense.
Well, everybody's feeling like their lives are meaningless holes now.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
It's about time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just Yeah. Hell yeah.
Dude, holes freak me out too. We were watching Marianne and there's a lot of holes in there. I'm like, you know what? I didn't realize how much holes fucking freak me out. Like big ass ones in the ground. You're like, I don't know what's down there. That's big. I can't see down there.
It's made for me, dude.
Yeah.
You guys see the Invisible Man trailer?
Yes.
No.
Not good.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I think
not good.
Okay. This is the guy who did Upgrade.
In a world where they have.
But after the Kevin Bacon one.
They have shown the movies in the trailers. You gotta stop.
Listen.
You gotta stop.
You can't market this movie unless you let them know it's the Invisible Man.
I know, but they went and done.
I mean, you could easily just have like a bunch of like build up, and then at the end just show
him trailers for bad movies and thought the movie was gonna be good. Okay,
this is true.
This is not my favorite trailer. I'm going off of this. The guy who directs it did Upgrade.
Upgrade your gray matter.
Upgrade was hella tight.
It was hella tight. Matt did not like it though.
So you're thinking he's gonna upgrade the Invisible Man.
And the trailer's not great. Like, I get what you're saying, but how do you do a good trailer for this? Like, I like that they updated it.
I just told you how.
Yeah.
You just do little story bits to build up suspense, and then the very last shot of the trailer, you just show him in his bandages. Or you just show a pile of the bandages.
The way you
on
do
the
it,
floor.
He's not doing
the iconic bandage.
The way you do it,
he's got a Christopher Nolan.
You show just a couple pieces of the film, and then you show the fucking bandage unraveling itself slowly.
That's 1995.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, dude. That was the pinnacle of Invisible Man.
Fuck
the pinnacle of Invisible.
Fuck to the yes, dude.
When Invisible Man comes out and it's tight, I'm gonna bring up what you said, dog.
You hurt me, dude.
I hope it's good. Put it that way.
I hope every movie's good.
But I think it will be because of the director. I think it will be.
I don't hope that The Gallows 2 was bad, But yes, I know you it do. Will be.
Are we going to do that?
We have to. We hella will.
We have to get Rhett to watch it, though.
He's got
to
watch the first one.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And I think the story of Invisible Man from that trailer, it looks interesting. Hmm. I think the story, but the trailer, a trailer is about how it's edited and what sound comes where and shit. Like, you can't tell. Michael Bay, like, do you remember the trailer for, like, Transformers 2? That movie looked fucking amazing. And that movie is a piece of shit.
But it is fun.
But that trailer, I was like, fuck yeah. I can't wait for this piece of shit. I know it's going to be a piece of shit. And he got me. And I went and saw that movie in the theater.
He's like,
this motherfucker. Yep,
got him.
This was back before A-List too, where he's actually paying to see this
Hell
shit.
Hell yeah, dude. I saw in the same week, I saw Transformers, Dark of the Moon, and Terrence Malick's The Tree of Life. I was on far ends of the spectrum.
The Tree of Life is a good flick.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, there's another one. Paramount sets a Paranormal Activity 7 release date. So apparently,
I could. They not saw the money being made in horror less. Films.
No, me either. I didn't. I never, dude. I saw the first movie. I don't even fucking remember it. I saw none of the sequels.
You know what happens? People are in their house. Nothing happens. Something moves. The people think something moved. Nothing happens for two more days.
Yeah.
Repeat. Rinse.
First one's good. Second one's good. Third one is garbage.
Fourth one was
the nanny cam one. Fifth one was the Mexican
Los Mariachis.
Sixth one was
The
Other Dimension or something.
You put in some time.
We watched all of them.
I got
you. Dude, I think we've seen all of them.
We watched all of them. We talked about all of them.
I've seen
too.
The first one and I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you've seen
the
first one.
And the fact that it was done in San Diego was kind of a cool bit, too. Like, I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Like
Simon and Simon. Yeah, that was a great show.
Dude, well, the build for that, too, man. Like, just being here and then catching the buzz of, like, this movie that was made for, like, what was it, $9,000?
And they made a fucking gorillion dollars.
Yeah, it's like everybody wants to see this movie. Like, yeah. It was this little indie flick, and now all these theaters are picking it up, and it was filmed in San Diego. It's like, what the fuck? And then you see it, and it's actually scary, and... Then they all just sucked after that.
I'm going to watch it again soon.
I might be down. That could be tight.
Well, 2021.
Yeah, they're really shooting for it.
Yeah, like they really need to pour some fucking ambition into this found footage.
Get it done, stupid.
Yeah.
There's, all right, cool. There's another Fantasy Island. The old show is getting made into a horror movie, a full-blown horror movie from Blumhouse.
Mm.
I mean, it looks tight.
Blumhouse.
It's going to come out.
You know what?
Ooh, it's you coming out on Valentine's Day.
You know what? Mm. I'm a head up.
Dude, you did it. He's like, oh, you used the meme, dude, the old one.
Good.
Kane Hodder's going to meet fans as Uber Jason for the first time at Monster Meet. That sounds tight.
As Uber Jason?
Yeah, from Jason X.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Why?
Because, like,
he could make so much more money doing fucking in-costume signings. The motherfucker charges $30 for a photo.
Like, you don't like Jason X, and I'm ashamed of you.
Yeah. I need to watch it again.
Dude, Jason X is a goddamn masterpiece.
I haven't watched Jason X in at least 10 years.
I would put Jason X up against Leprechaun in space any day. Any day.
Jason X better than Event Horizon? Yes.
Hellraiser Bloodline. I mean, there's that one in space,
it's
too. Isn't it?
Jason X is better. Dude, there's android nipples.
Like, damn.
Somebody thought...
Jason X better than Aliens? Yes.
Yep. Somebody had the thought of, you know what? We should definitely show this android's tits and then show that we're putting nipples on her.
Yep.
And then the nipples are going to fall off.
Yep.
And then that got greenlit through several phases and wound up in the movie.
Well, because they were like, the Borg is so hot right now, so let's do it.
Yeah. So hot.
Oh, yeah.
Locutus. What is his name in?
Locutus.
Locutus.
I am Locutus of Borg. We should do that episode for Patreon.
No, the movie.
What Star Trek The Next Generation.
The movie, dude.
The movie what? First Contact?
Yeah.
There ain't no fucking Star Trek horror. See, that would be cool.
Star Trek horror?
A Star Trek horror series.
Well, any of the Borg stuff is, I think,
But I mean, they could go hard into
those things are scary as fuck, dude. Yeah, I was a kid, like, if those would pop on TV at 11 at night, I'm like, nope.
First Contact wasn't the Borg one.
First Contact is the one with the
female Borg.
First Contact
was where he meets
Are you fucking Star Trekking me right now?
Wasn't he the one where he meets himself?
motherfucker.
Are you that's Nemesis. Star Trekking me that's right
Nemesis.
Now.
That's Nemesis. And Tom Hardy You're plays right. the young
Tom
fucking.
Tom Hardy does play the young.
Can you believe that
Picard.
Shit?
It's so good. With his ears all huge.
Dude, when I rewatched it, I'm like, that's motherfucking Tom Hardy.
That's motherfucking Hardy.
Yeah. That's... But first contact is the Borg one.
Oh, and she wants to fuck Picard.
With time
and
travel.
And she was hella hot.
I remember, I'm kind of still vaguely upset that they gave the Borg a queen. Like, it makes sense, but I was like...
Hey, Borgs need love too, dude.
Yeah. It was like Kerrigan from StarCraft. That's what they were doing.
It was Y'all like fucking alien with the hive mind.
Too dork
Anywho.
For me. Too dork for me.
Moving on.
We were getting super.
The last thing is the coolest thing. Bill Murray is definitely going to be Peter Venkman in the new Ghostbusters.
As he should.
Yeah.
Was there any doubt?
I mean, I don't know, maybe, but somebody brought up a good point. Like, if they can resurrect James Dean to be in, what are they doing? Like, Rebel Without a Cause.
Oh my gosh.
Wouldn't that be tight if they had Harold Ramis come back and help out as a ghost?
Okay,
he's a ghost Ghostbuster.
As a ghost?
Yeah.
As a ghost, yes.
See, that's the thing. This is going to get fucked up because it's going to work well.
It could get so existential about, like, should they be busting ghosts when their friend is a ghost?
It humanizes the ghost.
Yeah. In a sense, what it does is it conjures the ghost of Harold Ramis. Like, because they're, like, basically, it's the ghost in the machine. Did you ever see that, dude? You want to watch that movie?
Dude, I would love to watch Ghost. I'm one of the few defenders of
Ghost. You know what? This issue will actually come up.
You mean the Scarlett Johansson piece of shit?
No, dude. This
early 90s. Are you talking about the anime or?
No. This is an early 90s. It was like around when Lawnmower Man.
You should do a 1-2 punch.
It was about when VR was making like its first like big push.
Yeah.
And
brain scan.
No, but you know.
Well, it's within that.
But Ghost in the Machine, holy fuck, dude! There's a possessed dishwasher that kills a hot babysitter.
I'm into it.
That
sounds kind of tight as fuck.
Ghost in the Machine is fucking something else.
11% Rotten Tomatoes, 4.5 IMDb.
Fuck yeah, dude.
We gotta do it.
All right, are we done?
Es todo.
All right, we're going to be taking a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about Dr. Sleep. You cold?
It was a little cold.
And we're recording?
Yeah.
That's a first. How you been?
Yeah.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
Guess what, dude?
I need turmeric for my weak-ass joints.
You still got hollow bones?
Yeah, always.
This stuff's good for you.
This is lack of like cartilage.
That's the active ingredient in curry, dude.
It is, dude.
Yeah. How you been? I've been okay.
but we're back, though, right?
But we are back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, we're back.
But can you tell us, what's up with the Patreon, Hemi?
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast is full of Rhodes Scholars who thought the smartest thing that Rhodes. They could do... that's what I had said. But, you know, you guys are just dummies, so you didn't hear that. But you can be smart like the people at patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast and go in and donate a little bit of money or a lot of money
so
and
hard.
Help us continue doing this awesome show. And in return, you'll get exclusive content, bonus merchandise, and cool Christmas presents. Some of you will anyway.
Yeah, we got...
Some of you are getting
lost. That's on its way, dude. That's on its way.
Yes.
It's being printed as we speak.
Yeah. It'll probably be done by tomorrow.
Ooh.
We got to think of a dumb idea for our Christmas card, too.
You'll get one. I'll get one.
I already got that sweet track jacket.
You did. All right. So the Who Goes There podcast watched a little film called Dr. Sleep starring Ewan McGregor. If you bear with me for
a second,
I can tell
Obi-Wan
you
Kenobi.
The rest of the...
Oh.
Hello there.
Jesus Cristo.
Rebecca Ferguson.
Famke
Scatman
Jansen.
Crothers. The ghost of Scatman Crothers.
Ewan McGregor, Rebecca Ferguson, Kylie Curran, Cliff Curtis, Zahn McLaren, Emily Allen Lind, Selena Andews, Robert Longstreet, Carol Struken, Catherine Parker, James Flanagan, Met Clark. What's really weird is Jocelyn Donahue is like way low on this list. But anywho, shout out to Jocelyn Donahue because she is a fucking badass.
Who the fuck is Jocelyn
Donahue? She was in House of the Devil.
Ah.
She was also in our favorite segment of, what was the holiday?
That's that Ty, what's his name?
Tales of Halloween.
Right? Tales of Halloween.
Ty West. Do you guys like that guy?
We have a
sordid history with Ty West.
Well, because his films are very slow, but they
what was the Ty West movie? Oh yeah, House of the Devil. That's the Ty West movie. I like. People love The Innkeepers, and I'm like, this movie is fucking dumb.
Yeah,
I liked House of the Devil. Innkeepers was too slow for me.
And I didn't like that other one, The Revenant or Covenant or whatever the fuck
the
it was.
The Revenant with DiCaprio. Yeah, the best part was when he got fucked by the bear.
Yeah.
They really
take it there.
He made the bear drink the Kool-Aid.
When he has intercourse with the bear, it's super tight.
Yeah.
Brett, what'd you think of Dr. Sleep?
I went into Dr. Sleep with not supremely high expectations, not very low expectations, and I really, really enjoyed the majority of the film. I thought the story was very good. I thought the cast was pretty damn good, particularly Rebecca Ferguson as Mary the Hat. I thought they had a lot of cool ideas. I like the, for personal reasons, but also because it makes sense of the stuff. I like the recovery angle in the film with him being out with Danny being an alcoholic. I thought there's a lot of plot and that was juggled well by the director. The last 30 minutes or so, I actually thought it was really, I didn't expect it to, I wasn't thinking about it going back to the Overlook. When it decided it was going to, I thought it was a really fucking cool reason to go back there. I'm like, that's fucking badass. That's very crowd pleasing. However, how that was handled at the Overlook.
Yeah, we'll get into that stuff.
That's not my favorite.
Yeah.
That's not my favorite.
Matt, what'd you think?
Pretty much everything Rhett said. I liked the movie as a whole. About halfway through, I honestly felt like I was going to fall asleep and I was going to give into that feeling.
You were going to get Dr. Sleeped?
Yeah. And then it kind of picked up. I remember.
When I found out it was 2.5 hours, I'm like, I hope this movie doesn't make me fucking
Dr. Sleep.
Go to sleep.
Dude, I thought I was gonna. I thought after 30 minutes, Ollie and I were going to be out. And I almost was, but luckily shit picked up like right when I was about to give in to that sweet, sweet slumber. What was I saying? Oh yeah. I liked it a lot more than the book for sure. I did not like the book at all. I thought the ending was lackluster. And I told you, like, it felt somehow rushed and too drawn out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually enjoyed most of it.
Okay. I mostly agree. I think that it's a pretty valiant effort for the source material. I do think that the... and I don't know how to put this without... coming off shitty, but I do think that the women in this movie, the sexuality and the bite was taken out of them a little bit. In terms of comparison to the book, because I thought that Rose the Hat came across a lot more like animalistic in the book. And here she was just like, how you doing? And I'm like, ooh, I don't.
She's like, how you been?
Yeah.
Kind of, yes.
Yeah. I think she actually says that.
She must have said how you been a couple times. So I think it's a good flick. And the middle to the last third get a little fucky for me.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think the Overlook stuff is we'll talk about it. I think the Overlook stuff is a little bit...
fan servicey.
You know, that Overlook, it made me realize how much I want a Shining DLC for Dead by Daylight.
That'd be hella tight.
I want fucking Jack Torrance as the killer with the axe. I want the hedge maze and like maybe a little bit like the gardener shack could be like the killer shack.
That so we can't tight. Talk about this movie without going immediately into spoilers. And so what I want to talk about first and foremost is I think... One of the favorite things that I have to say about this movie is that I do like that they did not de-age actors and actresses.
What do you mean?
So instead of trying to make things look like and try to make them look like clones of the Shining characters, I like that they just were like, you know what? We know it's a different movie. They're different actors. Deal with it.
See that? Okay, that brings up a great point because the movie has the rough gig of following a Stanley Kubrick horror film that's iconic, and being a sequel and following adhering is at least somewhat to the book. And Stephen King hates the movie, but it's like, hey,
he softened a little bit on it in the last couple few years.
I heard that this one like more embodied the, I want to say it was Mick Garris who directed it, but the other version that was starring Stephen, what's his face from Wings?
Stephen Dorff.
No,
Mike Flanagan directed this one.
Yeah.
That's the guy who did Oculus. And he's done, in my opinion, like Hush was good. I liked Oculus. You said you didn't like it very much.
I wasn't a super big fan of
The Haunting of Hill House he did.
Pretty great.
I liked Haunting of Hill. Yeah. Did you see the one with the guy from Wings?
He did Gerald's Game.
Yeah, I have.
I haven't seen that.
It's horseshit. It's horseshit. Oh, okay. It's actual horseshit.
Yeah, I think he had a rough job inheriting doing a sequel to The Shining. That's a fucking and I think they did a good job. And like you said, what's the lady's name in freaking the original?
His wife, Famke.
Famke Janssen. No, Shelley Duvall. They had a different actress play Shelley Duvall.
You're right.
Which is good. I'm glad they did that.
Well, have you seen Shelley Duvall now?
Yeah. Damn. That would be hard to de-age. Yeah. You'd have to de-Shelley Duvall her, basically.
Or no, you'd have to Shelley Duvall her. Right.
Yeah, hologram his ass.
Now, when it comes to...
Hey, if it's good enough for Tupac.
Jack Torrance, once I realized this is going back to the Overlook, and once I realized he went to the bar, I'm like, this is an opportunity for a scene. Like, if they do this scene how I had it in my head,
yeah,
I'm like, fuck, this movie's in my top five for the year. It didn't happen.
Okay,
it's admirable
that
they had a different actor, in this case, that you guys, I know, that was Henry Thomas.
I thought he did a great job.
Who's Henry Thomas?
That's fucking Elliot from E.T.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I thought he did a great job. It's admirable. However, it took me out of the fucking movie. I think it would be best. Two options. I actually would have preferred. I'm sorry. It's been a year of seeing Jim Carrey do fucking crazy deep fakes of Jack Nicholson online.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been okay with a deep fake at this point. And I know that doesn't sound. I hate saying that. The other one I would have been okay with is don't show his face. Just have
profile shot.
Yeah.
No, I think that profile shot was still pretty effective.
He looked enough like him, but his voice wasn't.
The scene was well done. It was well written.
I think that scene at the bar in particular built a lot of tension, and
it needed it for the character.
I do think that in this whole film, I think that was the most scary scene in the entire film. At the bar.
I'll go with the child killing.
But see, that to me, I'm
child killing
where they sacrifice the kid.
Yeah, I don't. That.
Oh yeah, that was tight.
That was fucking great.
That was such a good scene.
I like kid killing in movies. So I'm.
Well, it doesn't
like,
mean just because I'm scared doesn't mean
no.
I
but
don't
that
like
was
it.
That was like a really
that was rough.
It was brutal without being like gory, and it was like, damn, I kind of feel bad for that little fucker.
The kid fucking sold
that kid
that.
Is acting his ass off. Yeah. When
fucked up.
I mean the imagery of it too.
Yeah. When they shift to showing you Jack Torrance's face. Head on.
Yeah.
I think that's when I'm like, you goofed it a little bit.
He doesn't look enough like him. It feels weird.
It feels like a parody.
It feels like an impersonation, like a caricature.
It feels like fan service that didn't like go, just if you're going to do that, do the Grand Moff Tarkin shit from Rogue One, dude. Like just go all the way. If you're going to do, that's why I would have, where it was most effective to me, remember when he refuses the drink?
Mm-hmm.
And then it fucking just shows his hand and he flicks it away.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's Jack Nicholson right there. That's like his character. That's Jack Torrance.
Well, and I think too, all three of us, we got fucking daddy issues. And I think that scene is
dude. No, I'm just kidding.
Not you, dude, right?
Yeah.
And I think that scene, why it was so scary to me is I think that it's very truthful, and I do think that coming to terms with your own personal shit is more scary than a fucking kid getting killed in a horror movie.
Well, and beyond the daddy issues, it is true about, I'm not trying to be all blah 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 like whatever people, but there's a reason booze has been fucking being drank in every culture on the earth for the last 25,000 years.
Because it's hella tight.
It's hella tight.
It is hella tight.
It is medicine.
Yeah.
And that shit can be that sometimes it's a little, you know, people like it a little too much.
What do you guys think? So you've read Dr. Sleep.
Yeah.
You have not.
I have not.
What do you think about the tie-in to The Shining? Like how do you feel about like the it being a sequel and it, you know,
I think that was all very that's what I mean. I think it goes with, because I'm going off the film here.
Right.
I haven't read the book, The Shining, nor have I read the book, Dr. Sleep. However, I understand that it's having to inherit both of those in a sense.
Right.
and the lore of both of those, but primarily the film. I mean, but the film, anyway, you get what I'm saying. This is very much its own film. Like it has a lot, it's not isolated to the Overlook Hotel.
Right.
There's a lot more characters. It expands the world. It does what a proper sequel should do, is it expands the world. I personally like the use. I like if almost at times it felt kind of like a comic book horror film because there's a bunch of different people with abilities. A lot of them have, there's more people like that. It was paced kind of like an adventure film at times to me. There was astral projection scene, which I thought.
Those astral projection scenes, I think were.
That was one of my favorite.
One of the best things in the film.
Yeah. And it was like, I hadn't seen an astral projection scene done that way where it has her floating over the clouds sideways, which means it shows her like going up, but over the clouds.
Yeah. I think the first time like Abra astral projects, I was like, this is not looking so good.
With the little girl?
But yeah, but when we know what Rose the Hat does it, you're like, okay, now you've done it. Now you've fucking figured the formula.
Yeah, I liked the movie too is for a horror film, it is unusually preoccupied. And it's to its benefit with its characters. Like, really. I mean, seriously. It's very, you get a sense of that they have an internal world. Even like, is it Rose the Hat or Mary the Hat?
Rose the Hat. Exception of Abra's dad.
Yeah.
Who's just like, cool, my daughter's special.
Yeah, that stuff was the weakest of the whole film. I you know.
That was tight, though. He just kept drinking. And he offers them, and they're like, nope. Nope.
Dude, I don't know why, but scene made me want to drink so bad. I was like, God, I would love some fucking whiskey right now.
Yeah. You know that in the novel, and I don't want to go too far into like, oh, this fucking movie doesn't feel like the novel at all. But in the film, their acceptance of Abra's like power or connection to the Shining is so like, oh, okay, well. You know,
it's cool.
It's cool then. You know, use my daughter as you will. There's so much more in the novel that builds the trust for the parents. And the idea that they had to kill the dad kind of fucking bums me out because it shows that Danny Torrance and Abra, they're just kind of dumb. And
well, they're not very competent as far as... That's okay. Not having read the book... It makes sense to me. Danny Torrance, number one, he refused the call. Like when this was presented to him, initially he refused it in the movie.
Which is what the kids in It should have done. Just been like, I'm not going back to Derry.
Sorry, I'm not.
Right. Yeah. Like he's like, I'm going to head out. You know what I mean? No,
stupid. Or more like, I'm not going to head out.
Yeah.
But no, I'm going to stay home.
Yeah. But then like these people have been at this for a long while.
Yeah, right. the true knot.
So, I mean, it would make sense that he's on the fence about this motivation-wise. He's fearful. He's scared. He's dealing with personal. He's dealing with alcoholism and the fucking shit that's left property that plagues him. You know. By the way, the whole fucking thing with making the little mental boxes for that. And like how they persona like his mind is the maze. Like I fucking loved all that.
Yep.
Is that in the book?
Yeah, it is. So in the book, it's almost the same way. I don't remember.
Yeah, I
remember,
liked all those ideas.
I don't remember specifically if Halloran was dead at the time, or if he was just speaking to him as like a ghost. But he did definitely show him to like, hey, like you know, when they come after you, just lock them up in a box. Yeah, I also don't like the way at the end when he like unleashes the boxes and it's just like scary ghosty time. I'm like,
that's the worst part of the film to me.
Usually I'm a big fan of the box being unleashed.
Mm. No, me too. No, and when he did it, it was like, cool, he's going to do this. And then they have the fucking Grady. He's like, it's a wonderful party, isn't it? It's like, that doesn't belong in this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Like, what party? And then,
what he should have said is this is a lovely day for a tea party.
Yeah, and the thing that I think
Were the animal fuckers?
The thing that irritates me, I think, the most is that fuckers? Like
in The Shining they have those fucking furries that are like getting it right. Like show furries. Some fucking dude in a bear costume going down on someone.
I think the thing that irritates me the most about the Outlook stuff is that you were
the
going
Overlook
on
or the Outlook
the Overlook is that we're going on this idea that you know the Overlook is essentially the same sort of creature, for lack of a better word, that the True Knot is, right? They're built of the same stuff. They're right. built of the same darkness. Rose the Hat wouldn't go in there and be like, yo, this is fucked up. I'm gonna head out.
Yeah, she wouldn't have had. Like,
she wouldn't have an intuitive her feeling senses tingling. About the hotel. You know, I just don't. I don't buy it because well, why
they did it. They did a scene. She started having the visions with the blood and all that, and she was like, "Oh, cool. I'm staying. I can get down with this." But what she didn't know is that Danny would unleash a bunch of shit from boxes on her.
He's got Hell House LLC in his mind.
Which makes that idea makes sense. The execution was hokey to me. The execution turned the movie all of a sudden into like a fucking...
it's like a game of magic. He just had a better deck build than she did.
Well, what it felt like to me was a haunted house. It felt like a haunted house with people dressed up like characters. It felt an awful lot
like Haunting of Hill House.
Or like 13 Ghosts.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean it literally. Like it felt like people dressed up at a haunted house downtown as The Shining.
Shout out Cthulhu Christ.
Yeah, but his work looks more authentic than
yeah.
Bones dress up as Jack Torrance too.
Yeah, that the Overlook stuff was.
I like that.
I'm of two minds about it because I do like the aesthetic of it.
Oh yeah,
and I do like that they're like, hey, guys, have you seen The Shining? Have you seen it?
But the thing is, I haven't seen The Shining in a long time. Really? But like basically all the notes they hit are the ones that are always used in like, you know, this is why The Shining is so great videos. You know, it's like the bathtub and like the hallway of blood and the twins and all that shit. Like the stairway. Like
The Shining and Jaws are my personal favorite horror films.
I really wish that the director, Mike Flanagan, hadn't decided to lean so heavily on The Shining, because it's
tough. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, especially at the end, especially at the fucking end.
Yeah.
Like, even okay, when they show the title card of this movie, it has the pattern from the floor. And
yeah.
Stuff. I thought that was tasteful, though. That was stuff like even if you a didn't know homage. That was from the even if you didn't know it was from The Shining, like if you've never seen The Shining, it's still not invasive. But there's parts here where it's like specifically feels fan servicey, and that's at odds with the movie's best when it's doing its own thing with the lore.
Yeah.
It's almost like, see, and I don't
when remember, it's trying to mind scares from the twins again, get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
I don't remember how much of the ending is like, you know, the same as the book, but it really felt like they were kind of like, oh fuck, you know, all the Shining fans are going to really want some Shining stuff.
The book ending is so much more fun than what happens in this film. Like, I don't know if you remember this, but what was happening in the book is as the True Knot was running out of steam, they were getting sick. Mm. And so, you know, they were getting measles and chicken pox and blah, 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 blah. So at the end, what ended up happening is Danny Torrance basically unleashed instant cancer on all of them. And they all died of cancer within like 30 seconds, which I thought
that's
would have been a fucking amazing scene.
But that's insensitive to people with cancer.
Well, let it be the bubonic plague then. I don't know. Like, one of them could have carried bubonic plague from, you know, from medieval times.
They should have just made it smallpox. Nothing bad ever happened.
Yeah, smallpox. I mean, like elephantitis on your D.
Dude, elephantitis of the everything. Like what happens in the novel is that like the True Knot is all in this room at the Overlook. And they think that they've got these fuckers cornered.
Right.
And what he does is he takes in cancer, and then he unleashes it all on them all at the same time, and they all insta die from cancer, which is a fucking crazy ass scene in the book.
Isn't that kind of what happened behind the red door in Haunting of Hill House?
You remember the scene where they do the where they trick them and they're shooting them with the rifles and shit.
Right.
Was that from the book?
Yeah, so there is...
That was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, so Abra learns to astral project herself.
Her image.
Her image.
Like
Luke and Skywalker. Nobody else can do it. Like, none of the True Knot knows that it's a trick because nobody can do it.
Shit's evolving.
And she's like the most powerful Jedi in...
See, I like all that. I know some horror guys are probably purists are going to be like, oh, use the Force, Danny. I already saw it online.
No, see, that stuff is tight. Like, I like that stuff. And in the car ride... She's never there, really. And in the novel, like, they're not staying at her house because why would you? That's retarded.
Right.
Go to another fucking location and do your astral projecting from there. Why would you be at the house, you dumb fuck?
You know what? Cinematically, it works different, though, I thought.
Well, and then his homeboy that was in the car with him, he was awful accepting of the fact that there was just like a ghost girl in the backseat. He never was just like, this motherfucker is crazy. He's talking to somebody that ain't even there. I loved
his speech, though, about how he was fucking saying, like, this thing you brought upon us. Like, there's people on my side dead, people on your side dead. It hasn't changed outcomes.
It's still
like,
the same.
Yeah, it's like, damn, bitch.
I mean, that actor and that character,
that's what I mean. Like, they gave a lot of attention to that little crew there. Like, you know, like, I wasn't on their side, obviously, but I got a feel for who these people were a little bit. And then, oh, those death scenes. When these motherfuckers die.
When they're cycling.
Yeah.
Wait, you didn't think that the rifle scene was when things started to feel rushed? Because I'm like, well, they just took out like almost all the crew with the exception of like the one main dude.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't. I was really on board in that part because I didn't have a clue where this was going after that. I mean, I knew it was going towards a face-off with just fucking Rose the Hat and all that kind of thing. But I didn't know. But then it was the next scene was that fucking the girl actually got physically taken. I just thought I was having a lot of fun at that point. Where I stopped having fun was the scene with fucking Jack. And then after that, where they fucking brought out all the stuff from the box and it looked hokey.
Yeah. In terms of,
like, no, I can see what you're saying.
And like, I hate her, right?
I hate to keep doing it because it, you know,
very entertained.
The movie should be what it is without the novel. But to Matt's point, once it hits the campground, to me, I go, okay, now you've rushed it.
Yeah, everything from there just felt like
it felt rushed and slow.
Yeah, like too drawn out. Where like
you're not as interested.
It's not for tension. Like I just don't care about what's happening. Well, but then it's like
a really interesting thing was there. You know, when fucking Danny Torrance was like, and when you see her headlights, you'll know she's on her way. And then
I
like,
wish I saw her.
They
headlights.
Show the headlights, and I go, why? Like, why do you have to show us the fucking headlights coming down the mountain?
Yeah, because didn't she come in and say, like, she's coming? Yeah, she said she's coming. And then he's like, oh, yep, definitely coming.
Yeah, like, oh,
sorry, I didn't take your word for it.
When you see the headlights, she's on her way. Oh, fuck, there's the headlights. She's on her way.
Yeah, and then wasn't she supposed to, like, stay in the car? She was supposed to do something, and she's just like, nah, that's cool.
I know. I looked that part up. Michael Bay directed that part.
That explains the quick cut.
Got him.
Okay, but, yeah, that's true.
That explains the flashy editing. Fuck. Yeah, dude, it looked like, did you see, you saw Ready Player One, right?
No.
Did you see?
Yeah, I did.
The whole Shining Overlook Hotel shit reminded me of Ready Player One when they're like, "Gooey, there's a ghost. Gooey, there's a demon. Gooey, there's a zombie."
Very at odds with the rest of the film.
Yeah,
very hokey.
Yeah,
it really did.
And this is a movie. This is a movie dealing with like gypsies that have been around since medieval times. Like it's hokey as fuck, but it's still done very well.
I wish like Borat was part of like the Stephen King universe, so he could have came out and tried to collect their tears to cure AIDS.
I appreciated the stuff too. And again, I mean, you know, I have to give the book credit, but I mean, the movie, like the thematic stuff regarding facing death. I mean, because the true knot is their whole thing is evading death.
Yeah.
We're going to avoid death and not accept it, not accept it, not accept it. The rest of the movie is populated with people, including people in the old folks home that he helps go to sleep to accept that you're going to, you know, accept the inevitable.
Yeah.
So that's important. I like that.
You know, when Rose had said like, she's not the last one by a long shot. I found out that there was an Easter egg that, like, to me means nothing, but you'll probably get it.
Shit, a little Dark Tower stuff.
Well, yeah, I guess in Dark Tower, like, when they're coming out of the movie theater, there, I guess somewhere else in the True Knot, there's, like, a guy who his steam is off of, like, laughter. And so he becomes a comedian so he can, like, laugh people to death. And there's a poster for his stand-up thing, like, outside the theater when they come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it's showing that, like, the True Knot is, like, everywhere. And
yeah, and
but, I mean, like, I wouldn't get that.
The Dark Tower references are weird because they're so subtle. I mean, so the baseball kid's number was 19, and that's a huge thing in the Dark Tower. When Halloran is talking to Danny Torrance the third time, he actually literally says the words cause a wheel. And if you don't know fucking Dark Tower lore, that means fuck all. And it's weird that they would put that stuff in there for the average viewer of the movie, which is kind of odd to me. The thing is that there's weird amounts of fan service that is super subtle, and then you head to the end and they're like, fucking, how about the room, and how about the fucking typewriter, and then how about fucking, it's like weirdly misbalanced.
It was like,
it's
every,
it's like beat. Studio interference is what it feels like.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm not saying for sure, but that's what it feels like.
You're right. And that would kind of like, that would kind of explain some of that 2.5 hour runtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I did love was that degloving scene.
That was great.
That like, was fucking great.
To me, I think that's when I decided I wasn't going to take a nap. Because like, dude, I was really cruising for nap time. And then when they did that thing, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to see what's going on. And
they
then,
did something whoosh, visceral. You
they were going something. They were going real Cosmic Turtle in those spots. And I was really into those
I was
scenes.
Into that. Yeah.
You know, the other thing too is that for a movie called Dr. Sleep, they didn't really deal with that a whole lot.
I mean, but like, and I don't remember much of the book, but wasn't Dr. Sleep the cat?
And no, they called Danny Dr. Torrance Sleep, yeah. Dr. Sleep.
Because it helps those people. I mean, it stuck out, because I didn't read the book, so it stuck out enough to me. I got why they called him Dr. Sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having not had, a connection to the book.
I mean, the cat was the original.
I got that
Dr.
he's
Sleep.
It's service work. He's trying to ease people into the inevitable.
The thing that really bugs me is they spend so much time with other extraneous bullshit, and they just go from like 24 hours of sobriety to 8 years of sobriety in an instant.
Dude, and see,
and
that
there's
was
so much. There's so much stuff that happens in there. Like his relationship with Abra is not just like. From one moment to the next, they're like, oh, he's like, oh, hey, it's been 8 years.
Well, and that was so weird for me because, like, I saw that it said 8 years, but it didn't look like the character Abra aged all that much. And I was like, did it say 8 months? And I just read 8 years. Like, what's going on here? And then suddenly they're just still talking on the wall. Nothing's really changed. It just left.
Yeah, she was much younger at that birthday party in the book.
I mean, I guess if she would have been like 5 and 13... Well, you know, that works, but like,
this is a specific, anytime that there's recovery stuff in a movie, it's easy to nitpick if you've been around like AA for a while. Cause honestly, but I appreciate that it's in there. And I thought they handled it well, like with other stuff, like accepting the inevitable shit. Like these are broad universal things. This isn't just alcohol.
It's not just AA.
No, that's not just AA, but that's part of fucking putting the shit down. Like, am I going to use this to fucking accept things, or can I put it down and accept things? You know, like that kind of thing. But yeah, I have yet to see a film where they really, cause they, the way they show it, like everyone at the meeting is fucking cool. It's like, that's not true.
Yeah. And
they're not at all. Some see, of these people, and they might be 20 years sober and not your cup of tea.
You know, the other thing that was sort of irritating to me is his relationship with that doctor. It's like there's nothing earned there. He's like, your watch, it's like at the fucking soap dispenser. And in the book, that was used as to convince the doctor that there's something more going on, and the doctor was instrumental in convincing the parents that Abra had power because he had seen it firsthand when she was a baby. And so, you know, they just throw the doctor in and you're like, oh, you're watch.
Way,
and, you
the
know,
the way that scene was played was like, I met you at AA and you're a real nice guy. Let me just show you that I'm a fucking freak.
Yeah, exactly.
I was very curious what the whole point of that was.
It's weird. It's and weird. It's
like, Speaking of which, well, he's talking to the dude in his office. Okay.
Yeah.
The doctor.
Okay. Weird.
Okay. Well, the office, I recognized immediately.
It's the interview.
I thought, well, that's the thing. If you want to pay homage, that's one thing. But it was so much like it that I'm like, why is he at the Overlook? So if someone's an actual film buff and loves The Shining, like you did the film a disservice to me, because I thought he was talking in the same fucking office as the Overlook.
Yep, I agree.
The window was in the same spot. Like, that's not homage. That's just like, why are you like this?
It's fan service, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a fan, and I was like, why the fuck is his office at the Overlook?
He was a fan who didn't feel very serviced.
I was like, damn, Danny's back at the Overlook right now?
So what is he doing there?
Yeah.
It's too early.
And then I'm like, oh, they're just doing that.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's one of the, you know, I know people, you know, on Reddit were specifically like, oh my gosh, did you guys notice? I'm like, yeah, we know.
See, I was just going to say that's probably one of those things that's supposed to be a little Easter egg for the Shining nerds, but like, in all actuality, they're like, this doesn't make any fucking sense.
It backfired for me too. Like the...
Well, I thought they were literally saying he's at the Overlook.
And the other thing, too, is like, how many fucking times are you going to show me the bathtub lady?
Yeah, like, what was the whole point?
Like, for fuck's sake, I got it. Like, she's the creepy, she's the one that Danny had the most issue with at the Overlook, and move on.
I know it's been a long time since I've seen The Shining, but like, what is the point, like, of... First, Danny like goes into the bathroom and closes the door while she's like, and then later the little girl goes into the bathroom and she like inherited. Well,
she's carrying on the work, dealing with her things.
But what I mean is, it almost seems like she's going in there to hang out with the old lady.
No, she's going in there to box her up.
Yeah.
So when Danny goes in there, that's when he's first learned the trick of using the lock boxes.
Oh, so he's more of like confronting his metaphorical.
And that's when it's not metaphorical.
Oh, it's a literal demon.
Literal.
But yeah, that's the way you can, you know, take it literally, or you can apply it to your own situation.
Yeah.
Well, because he had this traumatic stuff that happened to him in childhood and it followed him off property. And that's what happens.
So yeah. He's literally I guess he's metaphorically and literally compartmentalizing.
Yeah, it's both.
Yeah.
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's putting it in a box so he can put it, he can function.
So she can open the box.
So he can get drunk as fuck. Oh, for a while. I like that too, how Scatman Crothers showed up to be kind of his conscience while he was drinking.
Every time I hear him say Scatman Crothers, I think he's making a joke about the Scatman.
So do I, because that's that motherfucker's real name. Like, I can't believe that. The black dude from The Shining.
That's pretty tight. I've heard that name before, and I thought that guy was an actual Scatman.
That is the funniest fucking name.
It's a pretty good name.
Scatman Crothers.
Your parents essentially named you Man of Shit. Right.
Shitman. Yeah.
Scatman Crothers.
I'm the Shatman. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do know. I liked most of it. There's a lot of shit that I wish they had done differently.
There's a couple part. Okay, again, I'll point out the ritual sacrifice scene or the child sacrifice scene.
Hella tight.
The deaths of those of the True Knot.
Hella tight.
Especially that one chick where she's all kill yourself.
Yeah.
That blows his head off.
Dude, that was fucking. Who is that?
I don't know, but that was cool.
She is fine. What's her name? Andy.
Andy.
Snakebite.
You're snakebite.
No,
bite
I mean
Andy.
Like her for real name. Her Christian name.
Yeah. Ashley Carter?
I honestly thought it was Lauren Ashley Carter for like a long minute. I was like, how did Lauren get into Dr. Sleep and we don't know about it?
Well, same with Jocelyn Donahue. Like, I, you know, when I saw her.
Fonka Jensen.
When I saw her in there, I was like, damn, girl, what's up?
Yeah, I didn't even realize that was her. All I remember thinking was like, damn, I used to think Shelley Duvall was pretty hot, but like, you're pretty hot, Mrs. Torrance.
So I would be remiss if I didn't mention. I'm glad I remembered. Remiss.
Remiss.
That's a good word. Not really, but
it's better when you say it's a good word.
Thank you, always. But I was watching it with Sophia, and we had a weird screening. We went to Fashion Valley here, which is not like the ghetto area of town.
That's where we went.
But it was where I went too, oddly enough.
Really?
What the fuck?
It's Overlook.
Did we all go to Fashion Valley?
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
It's like the nicest mall, but it's like
the
shittiest mall or the shittiest.
Did you guys? Were you guys in Theater 12, dude? Downstairs.
The one downstairs. Yep.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah. Shining. Have you seen that movie Room 237 or whatever?
We just got shinning.
Yeah, we kind of did.
Yeah, you don't want to get sued.
You want to get shooed?
Okay, so I saw this was like a
shooed.
Oh my god, dude! When they did that, it was like Danny talking with Abra, and like he said, like shine on or something, like a bunch of times. And
shine
like,
on, you crazy diamond.
Yeah, dude. I kept singing like, get your shine on. Like I'm like, you shine on. Use that shine. Shine on, girl.
Get your fucking shine box.
You shine you.
Shine bright like a diamond.
Yeah. Shine on, Abra.
Yeah, that wasn't good. I didn't like that
not
part
good.
Either.
Yeah.
You were gonna be remiss.
Yes. There was a couple in there. Remiss. There was a couple in there and they were sitting in the handicap seats, but never, that's not. Oh,
I thought he was talking about.
I'm just giving you a visual.
I thought he was talking about in the movie. And I'm like, when?
But they had a baby crib or a baby carriage next to the seats.
Hate them. I hate them already.
A 7 o'clock showing.
of a 2.5 hour R-rated horror film. What the fuck are you doing in Fashion Valley?
Oh, like, God, dude. I had a woman next to me who fucking insisted on shaking her bag of popcorn for the first 15 minutes of the movie. It drove me goddamn batty. Like, I thought I was going to have a Chris Franco moment where I just fucking melt down and just dive on that bitch. Like, oh, my God.
Actually, I have heard that... What time did you go?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. So I have heard that theaters are now not allowing children under 17 in theaters at all.
Yeah.
Because of that specific reason.
Yeah. Okay.
That's hella tight.
Here's the thing. The kid was oddly well-behaved most of the time.
It was the parents?
But, no. Yeah. Well, the parents was this urban couple. He had a... It was the kind of gentleman who wear. I didn't say what. No, he's the kind of gentleman who wears a hat with a hood on over the hat in the movie theater.
Mm-hmm. So he's Eminem.
Yeah, he's like basically like, will the real Slim Shady please sit down during the movie?
Please stop talking during the movie. No,
will the real Slim Shady please observe etiquette?
Please silence yourself.
So it got to the child killing scene, right?
Oh, shit.
Oh, no, they didn't say anything. They got to the child killing scene and she leaves. Which I didn't notice initially. But then, near the end of that scene, he gets up and I'm like, oh, where'd the chick go? Where'd this bitch go? And then, and I'm like, no, hey, come on.
And he's like, oh, shit, they're just leaving their baby
here. And then he's taking the carriage. And then I'm like, oh, I get it. He's like, oh, hell no, I'm a head out. You know what I mean? Because he's like...
Was that a whole thing just so you can make another I'm a head out reference?
That's when I said it. And I'm like, because I was pointing it out to Sophie. I'm like, dude, he's like, nah, I'm a head out. Like, because... They're trying to watch this horror movie with their kid in a fucking baby carriage, and then they're killing a kid. And then he's like, and then this black girl's gonna die later. He's all, oh, hell no. I'm out. I'm not watching this.
This is one step too many.
Yeah, but it was fucking funny to me that they left during that scene.
I like that they killed two kids.
Maybe like she was just gonna slob his knob in the bathroom.
Mm. See, I don't want to go with that narrative. I would hope that they left because...
Maybe it's like even though they killing? Have a child, fuck they still yeah. have
As
a
if the child would be like, oh, fuck, nah.
Yeah. What is colors? I can't see. Oh, hell nah. They just killed a kid.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
kid is dead as fuck.
Yeah.
Give me that steam, it's bitch.
Like, oh, that's what is this, left. A hand?
I don't think it was time for the knob slobbing. I think that would be weird. Like... That's not the time to leave the movie.
That's what that kid should have been.
That's when you're either like, this movie's badass or I'm leaving.
Maybe they were just like leaving so they could ride the Hershey Highway to Love.
Mm.
You can't do that in a theater.
The Hershey.
Because it's chocolatey and poop.
All right. Well, speaking of poop, Dr. Sleep.
Is it poop?
Nah, it's fine.
No, I would go watch it.
It's good. It's good.
I did want to watch it.
I wish it cracked the top five for the year for me, but it didn't. But like parts of it, that astral projection shit was all the mind fuckery. Yeah. I love mind fuckery, dude. Yeah.
You know what? You know what's funny?
Huh.
I got distinct Dreamcatcher vibes when they were doing like the file cabinets.
Very true.
I was like, oh, it's Dreamcatcher.
That wasn't the bad part of Dreamcatcher either.
Yeah, that was the good stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Wasn't all of Dreamcatcher the good stuff?
I didn't think it was that bad when it came out.
I kind of like Dreamcatcher. I kind of like it a lot.
I think it's got a bad rap.
Like, dude, Morgan Freeman with those eyebrows. Holy fuck.
And the shit goes up their ass.
It does. Well, it comes out their ass.
Well, yeah, that thing. Shut up. It comes out their ass. That's different. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when they got to poop it out.
You gotta poop it out.
All right, well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode, or actually for Dr. Sleep. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we go?
What are we doing?
We actually almost topped over 2 hours.
Good.
Is that with or without Patreon?
That's almost without.
Damn.
We came back with a fury, motherfucker.
Damn, bitch. Count that as two episodes. In this shit.
Ooh. Dr. Sleep part one. Dr. Sleep part two.
Was there a movie we did two parts of? We were going to do two parts of
ABCs of Death. We should just re-record that.
Just now that we know how to do it.
Yeah.
Just slip it in there and nobody will notice.
Yeah.
That'd be great. It's like a stinky pinky.
Red couldn't handle it.
No.
There's no way you could handle ABCs of Death.
I'm just looking at
you guys
it.
Listening now. I like this.
Yeah. All right. Well,
what the fuck is ABCs of Death?
We'll tell you later. We'll feed you, baby boy.
Yeah.
That's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 236. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us. this week, this month, whatever it is you're doing. Don't crash. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett.
Next week, what are we doing?
Let's do Bliss.
Whatever.
Because I don't think there's three really good movies coming out this fucking week, and none of them are horror movies.
So tight.
That's not going to work.
All right, dummies. Well, we'll see you next week. Whatever. You know, maybe we'll talk about Event Horizon again.
Bad Milo?
Bad Milo.
I never saw it.
You should watch Bad Milo.
I saw the trailer, though.
Oh, Bad Milo is it's something.
All right, idiots. I hate your fucking guts. Ugh.
Yeah. I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.